Good Saturday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Normally Chunas and the bro. Jamie out sick today, so everybody say your prayers for Jamie Lynch. Save Jamie. It's a cold one out today. Stay warm. I'm shocked, actually, to be honest, getting up this morning, walking outside. Like, is it really this cold? Hasn't been cold all winter. It's been a pretty mild winter, so pretty freezing today. So stay warm out there today, people. And, of course, it is the day after what I'm sure is a big money spender for a lot of people. I know it was for me yesterday. I still don't know why. February 14th to me is just another day on the calendar, but February 14th is a day of love, right? It's a day of joy. It's if you're in a relationship, you know, you act like you actually really like each other one more time during the year, and then it all goes downhill until like probably Christmas time, right? Something like that. So because we were all happy and we were all joyful yesterday and we were all feeling the love yesterday, I want to get back to the hate. That's what I want to do because I think that's what we do best. When it comes to sports, it's anger. That's when we're at our best. No matter how good things are going for the teams in Philadelphia, we as a society are best when we are angry. Because that's when the best you comes out. No, it's mainly the worst you that comes out. But that's when we're fired up the most, is when we are angry. So right now, today, because, you know, we had all this warmth in our hearts yesterday, I want to have some fun. I want to bring the anger back out. But I want to sort of also compare it to what I think is the good in Philadelphia sports right now. I want you to have the opportunity today to explain to me what your angriest the most. Like, what is angering you the most right now in the state of the Philadelphia sports? It could be one thing. You could give me one thing from each team. You could give me 10 things from each team. I don't really care. And the reason why I kind of go off on this is because, you know, the Phillies are down in spring training. And GM Matt Klentak spoke earlier this week. Andy McPhail spoke yesterday. And Andy McPhail got into the whole luxury tax conversation and said, oh, we're willing to go over. We're willing to spend, which I still think is utter BS. We'll spend mid-season. We wanted to start the season under the luxury tax. Okay, so here's what you're telling me, Mr. McPhail. You're telling me that if you're in the hunt, you'll spend a little bit by making trades at the trade deadline. Okay, cool. You were in the hunt last year at the trade deadline. And you didn't believe in your own team. You told your own players, you told your own fans, you told your manager, you told the organization that you didn't believe in your team last year to get to the playoffs and make a playoff run. Okay, so we're going to go into this season, the 2020 season, with that same notion of, hey, listen, we're going to see where we're at the trade deadline. If we believe in this team, we're going to be buyers and we'll spend a little bit more money. Okay, cool. Well, I don't really go in with much confidence, A, because I don't think this team is going to be the first place team in the National League East. I just don't. I'm kind of nervous that they're going to be a couple games out by May. And by a couple, I mean like 5-6. And that's when you're already starting to feel a little concerned and you start pushing for them to make a move. And if they go, we don't really believe it, we're not going to make the trade. And then we're going to sit here at the end of the 2020 season saying, oh, look, maybe if you open up your pockets a little bit, maybe you could have won some more. So that's kind of what leads to my anger today, my hate in Philadelphia sports right now. Earlier in the week, right, we had a fun little show during the midday show with Anthony. Anthony talked about Matt Klentak, and just when he hears him speak, he feels anger hearing the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies speak. And he asked, though, what other players or what other people in sports bring out that sort of anger in you? Andy McPhail went right back to that yesterday. Andy McPhail brought that anger out of me and brought that anger out of a lot of Phillies fans yesterday. So that's where this all starts. But if you look at the other teams, the Sixers, obviously you can find something to be angry about, right? You could be angry about the head coach. He's not going anywhere the rest of this season. We have to let this season play out before he gets fired, even though a lot of people think he should have been fired last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You got to let the season play out, especially now that he has this new rotation. And I feel pretty good about the Sixers this morning. But I get that people are angry that Ben Simmons still doesn't have a jump shot. I get that people are angry about Joel Embiid not being the most conditioned athlete, especially in the NBA. I get all that. When you look at the Flyers, I don't think there's really much to be angry about because they're playing well. To me, they're exceeding expectations right now. And we didn't have that high of expectations with them coming into the season to begin with. Like, they were a let's wait and see team. Let's see what they can do. Let's see what Alain Vigneault does with his coaching style. Let's see if his players can adapt to that coaching style. Let's see what Chuck Fletcher can do before the season. Right? He makes the signing of Kevin Hayes, which I know a lot of people are upset that he spent a lot of money. You had to spend that kind of money. He would have gotten that money elsewhere. And look, he's been a pretty good player for you this year. So right now, I don't really see anything to be angry about with the Flyers. I can see where you're angry with the Phillies. I can see where you're angry with the Sixers. I can't really see where you'd be angry with the Flyers. And then with the Eagles, because we're a couple months removed from the season now, at least for the Eagles season, there's not really much for me to be angry about. You can go back and say, I'm angry that Howie Roseman didn't make certain trades. I'm angry that Howie Roseman, you know, fully guaranteed Alshon Jeffrey's contract even after drafting J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I can see why you'd be angry about Howie Roseman. But I'm also interested to see if Howie Roseman can really step up to the plate this offseason and hit at a near 100% clip like he did 2 years ago before the Super Bowl run. I want to see if Howie Roseman can do that again. Does he still have it in him? That's why I can't just say that Howie Roseman's a bad GM. I can't really be angry about the head coach. I can't really be angry about the quarterback. The quarterback and the head coach, with nothing around them on the offense, were able to win four straight. Albeit against bad teams, I get, except for the Cowboys game. That was a good win. You had nothing around you, and you won four straight games. But you can be angry that they had nothing around them. That even if Nelson Agholor was healthy, he wasn't going to do much for you. Even if Alshon Jeffrey was healthy, he wasn't going to do much for you because he seemed to be a rat inside the locker room. You can be angry about specific players. You can be angry about specific coaches, GMs, owners, you name it. That is what I want to do today. I want to see what is making you angry the most in Philadelphia sports today. But the reason why I say, let's also look at the positive view on this. With all this stuff that can make you angry and will make you angry on a daily basis with these teams, they are still in such good positions, right? Sixers very well could make a playoff run. We don't know. It may be crazy to say if they finish the fifth seed as the fifth seed that they're going to make a playoff run. Yeah, it could be crazy. But coming out of the All-Star break, they're going to be just a game and a half back of the Miami Heat for the four seed. They're not too far off from the Celtics, who are the three seed. The two seed, yeah, they're a couple games behind the Raptors, but the Raptors just had a 15-16 game winning streak, something like that. Eventually, you would think they would cool off. They're not going to catch the Bucks. They're not. But if they can get to that four seed, that three seed, that two seed, let's see what this Sixers team can do. With all the anger that you have felt for that team, they are still right there in the hunt. And you saw how good they played against the Clippers Tuesday night with their new rotation, with Alec Burks now on the roster, with Glenn Robinson III now on the roster, with guys like Hollow Meadow not getting minutes, with guys like Zaire Smith not getting minutes, Norvell Pell not getting minutes. Now you feel a little bit better, don't you? The Flyers, as I just said, they're exceeding expectations. Nothing really to be angry about. And the Phillies, as angry as I am with management, with the owner, with the GM, with the president, all those guys, they still have Bryce Harper. They still have JT Realmuto. They still have who I expect has a bit of a better season than Rhys Hoskins. Not that I think he's going to be like a 50 home run guy. I just hope he doesn't have a collapse like he did last year, hitting 180 the second half of the season. You still have some good players on this Phillies roster. You improve with Didi Gregorius. You improve with Zach Wheeler. And if Andy McPhail is telling us the truth, if they're in it, they'll pay during the trade deadline. They'll make some trades for some bigger names. So they're still in a good position to win. The Sixers, good position to win. Flyers, good position to win. Eagles always are going to be in the hunt because they have the franchise quarterback. So the number to get in today, 610-632-0975. What in Philadelphia sports right now is making you angry the most? But then let's take a step back after we talk about it. Is there any way of getting past that hate? And going back to the day of love yesterday, where you can actually feel good about these teams. Because as I said 10 minutes ago, we are best when we are angry. We are best when we are jumping down people's throats and going nuts that, oh, Ben Simmons still doesn't have a jump shot. Ben Simmons still having a pretty damn good year. He's an all-star. Carson Wentz, he's not an elite quarterback. Look what he did with the guys around him. Like, I like to take the step back and be like, look, you got to look at the big picture sometimes, not always the minute picture. So let's talk about it. It's almost like Devon Givens every once in a while does this session, right? Where he likes to sit in the chair and talk things out and figure things out. That's kind of what I want to do today. So I'm going to steal a little bit from Devon Givens today. Like, I want to go over everything that's making us angry in Philadelphia sports, but I want to see how we can overcome that anger and just what that anger could turn into. If that one thing that's driving you insane can turn into a positive thing, where Ben Simmons' jump shot, hey, listen, he's a little bit more aggressive this year. That's a positive. He's been much more aggressive this past month. And if you can implement that 12-footer, we saw him hit an elbow jumper. I get it was desperation. Shot clock was expiring against the Clippers, but we saw him hit that elbow jumper. Maybe a little bit more comes out after the All-Star break. Joel Embiid seemed to be the Joel Embiid of old. He seemed to really enjoy himself playing the Clippers on Tuesday night, egging on the crowd. It was great. And I get we hate that he mopes around. But maybe, just maybe, the moping that led to the booing, that led to the shut the bleep up, that led to the Twitter stuff, that then led to a Joel Embiid being happy on the court Tuesday night in a win. 610-632-0975. So before we get to the phones, Tyler Zuli producing the show today. Tyler, you looked great, by the way, on the TV program.
Oh, well, thank you.
The Mike Mussinelli television
program. Yeah, you got to get the haircut
and all
that.
No, you did good. It was a good job.
I appreciate
you got the haircut.
That. Thank you.
You trimmed the beard a little bit. Looked nice.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Looked good.
That.
All right. What is angering you the most right now in Philadelphia sports?
You know, I think this is probably going to be the common answer a lot of times this show today. To me, it's just the inconsistency of the Sixers. Because, you know, one of the things we did talk about on Mike's show yesterday was expectations of young superstars. And Mike was very adamant that once you sign that contract, the expectations become immediate and real. So for me, if you have those expectations and you're going to put them on the players, then inconsistency cannot happen. You cannot be up and down. I know you guys talked about it, you know, why can't we do it on the road?
Right.
You know, it's just so frustrating to see this team that blossoms with talent, that beats the Clippers, that beats the Bucks on Christmas Day, that beats the Celtics 3 out of 4 times in the season, lose to the Atlanta Hawks, lose to the Orlando Magic, and can't find any consistent nature within themselves.
Okay, so now because we're also trying to sit down and talk things out, I totally agree with you. Like, the inconsistency is it's almost like a joke, right? It's, wow, you beat these good teams. And Jamie and I spoke last week, or it was 2 weeks ago. We were talking about where in the schedule the Sixers could make a run. And there is games in the month of March following the Lakers-Clippers road trip that you have in L.A. There are 10 games where you can easily win. Two of them are tough because it's the Pacers and the Raptors, but you have them at home, revenge factor, you name it. The other 8 teams are borderline playoff teams. So the Sixers should be able to go on a little run there. But to your point, they always play down to their level of opponent. Like, they should go 8-2 in that 10-game stretch. But can't you see them going 6-4?
Well, and you mentioned it too. You talked about when you were talking about they're not that far back of the 3 seed and the 4 seed and whatever. They have the second easiest schedule remaining left in the NBA. The teams that they play are combined 465 winning percentage. The problem is the Heat are a game and a half up and have won the season series, I believe, over the Sixers.
Yes,
and
they have
the fourth or fifth best or easiest schedule left, and it's like 475. So it's, you know, a decimal point percentage of an easy schedule. They get the Hawks a couple times. They get the Pistons. Their schedule's pretty favorable too. It's going to be tough to catch them.
Right. And listen, I mean, sometimes teams play down to their level opponent. It happens often. Like, I remember earlier in the season, the Sixers lost to the Wizards and everybody went nuts. And 2 nights later, the Wizards beat the Heat. And I put out a tweet. I was like, how come nobody's bashing the Heat today for losing to the Wizards? Oh, stop trying to protect this Sixers team, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm just saying, like, it happens, right? Like,
going down to Washington's funky.
Yeah, Bradley
Beal. Teams lose there. Dallas lost there earlier in the year, too.
Yeah, exactly. Bradley Beal could put up 30 on a given night, right? Like, I think I just saw a stat the other day. He's the highest average points per game by a non-All-Star. It's like it's mid-20s, right? He's averaging mid-20s
points
per game. Yeah,
I know they stink, but he got snubbed.
He did get snubbed. You're right, and he should be in the All-Star game. But that, like, that's my point is, okay, every once in a while, a team can get hot, especially a team that has nothing to really play for, and they're just going out there, and they're just going to go out there and win. But it is the Sixers' fault for playing down to the level of opponent, and that's why I go, all right, you're so right about the inconsistency thing. But when you talk about the way they played against the Celtics, 3-1 in that 4-game series. Yeah, they lost to the Heat 3-1. You saw how they played against the Bucks Christmas Day. You've seen how they have played against some of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, especially the Western Conference, beating the Lakers, beating the Clippers just earlier this week. Doesn't that also make you feel pretty good, Tyler, about the playoffs? That, okay, yeah, you know what? They're inconsistent. They're struggling against bad teams. But they've played pretty damn well against these good teams. The teams that, when it's all said and done, are the teams that are going to matter when it comes to playing well. You're going to have to play well against those teams because those are the teams that you're going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I've got hope for sure. I'm not total, annihilation at this point.
You're not writing off the season already.
My issue, however, though, is, and Pat and I discuss this all the time, is if they don't get the home court advantage and they got to win at least a game on the road, I'm not convinced. So I have hope, but I'm not convinced.
All right. So that's Tyler's hate, the biggest hate. What's making him angry the most right now in Philadelphia sports is the inconsistency of this Sixers team. And I'm trying to talk him off the ledge a little bit and say, okay, you can flip that around by saying they've beat the good teams and they're going to be playing the good teams in the playoffs. So that's what we're going to do today. I want you to give your biggest hate in Philadelphia sports right now. What's making you angry most right now in Philadelphia sports? Ruin Today tweets in. It goes, can't even be angry with the Phillies about their lack of acquiring moves and going over the cap. We've seen this act before, and the reluctance to make a big move at the deadline when they're close to contention the last 2 years tells you everything you need. Yeah, well, I get it. You can't even be angry? No, you can be angry, Joe. You can be. Because you're sitting here, and you're already hearing it from Andy McPhail. Yeah, we're not reluctant to go over the luxury tax. We'll make a trade if need be, if we're in the mix. You were in the mix last year, Mr. McPhail. You were in the mix. And I don't like to point this out because, you know, the Nationals are a better team. We're a better team last year. The Nationals were a wild card team, right? Yeah. Yeah. And they
went on to win the World Series.
Yeah, they went on to win the World Series, right? I remember Andy McPhail said, I think it was word for word, what's the point of making trades to face the Dodgers in the first round? Well, the Nationals made trades. The Nationals went on to win the World Series. Right? I just like pointing that out. Even though I do think the Nationals were a better team than Phillies last year, don't get me wrong, I like to point out that fact. That maybe you do make the trades to face the Dodgers and beat them and move on to win the World Series. Greg Miller tweets in, the Phillies' inability to develop homegrown talent the past 10 years. Very good answer. But we can look at the optimistic view and say, Aaron Nola's turning into a pretty good pitcher. You hear great things about Spencer Howard. And let's hope that Alec Bohm turns out to be the superstar that they're selling us on right now. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Bryant in Philadelphia. Bryant, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you doing today?
What's up, Bryant?
So my hate is the lack of consistency with the aggressive and dominant play of the Sixers. I feel, especially like with Ben Simmons, I feel like if Ben Simmons was just aggressive, like all year round, all season, that the Sixers would be in a way better, like, position. And also, I guess the strategy as far as like spacing and getting Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to work together better. And as far as, like, I would say planning, off-season planning to avoid damage control end season or mid-season. And that's for the Sixers, and that's for the Phillies, and that's for the Eagles.
Okay, so I want to go to the Ben Simmons thing, because you're right. We always want Ben to be a little more aggressive, but can't you say that he has been for the past month and a half? Like, haven't you been happy with the way Ben Simmons has been playing?
I want more. Because when I look at Ben Simmons and just see what he can be if he was just aggressive all year round, it is just he could be great. And, you know, I'm not sure how many people will, like, agree with the little picture. I was on Pro Basketball Reference.
Okay.
And Ben Simmons, without a jump shot, is so close to being Magic Johnson without a jump shot. If you look at the career stats between the two.
Right.
So if he gets a jump shot, who would you compare him to?
Well, I mean, like a legit jump shot that he can hit anytime he wants?
Yes.
He'd be the best player in the league.
Exactly. And I got to tell him.
Yeah, but Brian, what if he like literally cannot shoot well, right? Like, how come we never take a step back and go, maybe he actually is not a good shooter, right? So he has to do what he does, and he still puts up 26 and 12 and 10 against the Clippers. He still puts up 19, 10 and 10 against the Bulls. He still puts up 22 and 10 against the Grizzlies. Like, I get what you're saying, Brian, and it frustrates the hell out of me, too. That's what I opened the show with, was Ben Simmons not having a jump shot is one of my biggest hates, one of my biggest, the things that make me angry most right now in Philadelphia sports, because I know what you're saying, the dominant player that he could be if he has that jump shot. To me, he's already a pretty dominant player.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing to go along with what you say. We all want Ben Simmons to shoot, but how are we going to be if he really can't make that shot and just, like, I want him to shoot at least 5 jump shots, but are we really going to be happy if he take 5 jump shots and I only make one? Or are we going to start complaining?
No, people are going to start complaining, Brian, and I appreciate the call. People are going to start complaining because people can never be happy. People are going to say, wow, I mean, this is a number one overall pick. This is what we waited for. We waited a year because he got hurt before he started playing. We waited 3 years before he actually started taking jump shots just to go 1 of 5 every single night. Yeah, people are going to be upset. But if you look, I'm telling you, you look at his recent stretch of games, man, he's doing that all without that jump shot. All without that jump shot that people keep on honing in for. And I get it. I want it too. I want the jump shot too. Because I think he's dominant now. Imagine him having a jump shot. He'd be the best. He'd be the best. And that's probably what a lot of people will say in terms of what's making them angry the most in Philadelphia sports right now is Ben Simmons, his reluctance to shoot, his not having a jump shot. I understand why, because he could be the best if he had it. But he's still pretty damn good without it. 610-632-0975. So quickly, just to recap. Yesterday was the day of love. February 14th, Valentine's Day, where everybody spends too much money for no really apparent reason. It's just another day in the calendar. And I spent a lot of money yesterday on a fantastic dinner. And speaking of that dinner, it was a horror show yesterday, and I'll explain later on. I don't have kids, so I'm not going to be bashing because I don't have kids. I don't know what it's like. But I'll explain more later on because it was a horror show at the restaurant yesterday on a day where you go, really? You're doing this tonight? Whatever. But because yesterday's the day of love, I want to get back to the anger today because I think that's what really brings out the best of us in Philadelphia. What is making you angry the most in Philadelphia sports right now? Tyler Zuli is producing the show today, says it's the inconsistency of the Sixers. For me, it's the reluctance to spend money for the Phillies and trying to sell us on another year of Vince Velasquez, Nick Pivetta. Oh, Nick Pivetta, hype train's back. Zach Eflin, you name it. Yes, they improved. But are they contenders to win the division? I don't think so. That's what's making me angry the most right now in Philadelphia sports. I want to hear what yours are. 610-632-0975. Jamie out sick today. So it's me and Tyler taking you till 12 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas taking you until noon. Jamie out sick today, so he'll be back next Saturday. Tyler Zuli producing the show today, so he's going to be jumping on all day. And Tyler, I need to ask you, I don't know if you saw it yesterday. Did you watch any of the World versus USA game?
I didn't watch the game as it was happening. The highlights were, they were wild.
Okay, so I didn't watch a second of it. It's because I was out. I did bet on the game. Cashed.
You bet on an exhibition game?
Yeah. Cashed.
You won?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. It's not an addiction if you win. So I saw SportsCenter put out a tweet last night. And then I saw like Bleacher Report put out a tweet last night. And then I saw Fox put out a tweet last night. And a lot of media networks put out a tweet last night of guys missing dunks.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted that. You were not happy about that.
What the hell are we doing? What are we? I'll get back to the Philadelphia stuff in a second. Here's the one tweet. If Ja Morant pull this off, and then it's the emoji with the the mouth open, hands on the face. What do you mean if the guy didn't pull it off? He didn't make the dunk, and we're celebrating. We're celebrating.
You know, if Shooter McGavin would have made the putt,
yes,
Happy Gilmore would have never won the tournament.
If Mitch Williams didn't give up that home run, maybe the Phillies would have won the World Series in 93. If Ryan Howard swung the bat, maybe they would have beaten the Giants in 2010. What is this if? What is this if? And then there was a longer one of Zion Williamson missing like six dunks in a row.
We play in hypotheticals a lot, but when you take it into the real world, if doesn't work.
No. You're posting highlights. They're not highlights. They're lowlights. I know he didn't fall and make a fool of himself, but if you don't make the dunk, if you don't make the shot, if you don't accomplish something, it's automatically a lowlight to me. Why are we doing this? Is this the society that we're in? Did he get a trophy for it?
Participation trophies.
Ah, Ja, you missed the dunk. Here's a trophy. So the slam dunk contest is tonight,
yeah,
right?
Just start grading. That's exactly what I was going to say. Just start grading all the dunks
that
they
miss.
Saying.
If a guy, I don't know what the format is because they change the stupid format every single year, it seems. If they have a time limit, and let's say the guy doesn't make his dunk in 2 minutes, so really he should put up a zero. Are we still going to give him like a 40? Because, hey, you know, you tried, and it looked cool, and you missed, but it looked cool, so here you go. What the hell are we doing? All right, get off my high horse. This weekend's programming is being delivered by Papa John's. New Papa Dias, hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. I had a few this week. They're delicious.
Are they good? I haven't had one yet.
They were pretty damn good. They dropped them off. And the second one, I brought one home with me. It was after having a few beers. Oh, yeah.
It's a good call by you.
Oh, yeah. Look out. I was enjoying myself. Charles in the Northeast. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Andrew?
What's up, Charles?
Andrew, a couple things. I'll give you what's really bothered me in a minute. But first, I've been consistent on the Sixers. You know this. I've called you and Jamie. I've called a lot of people and people. I've had callers write me. It's the fact of the matter. I saw enough early in the year that I know this team's a good. They're going to get in the 3 or 4 seed, whatever they're going to get in. Doesn't matter to me. Because the fact is, when they come playoff time, this team's built to win in the playoffs. They're going to win in the playoffs. I don't care whether it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Miami. Doesn't matter to me. No team in the East will beat this team 4-7, Jamie. Now, come finals in June, maybe the Clippers or Lakers will be a team enough to beat the Sixers. But no team in the East is going to be able to do it. Now, what's
you
really
think no team? Like, there's no chance that the Bucks beat the Sixers in 7 games. No chance?
No. No. No.
Why? I just want to know why.
Defense. The Sixers will contain the Greek Freak enough to win. That's what wins in the playoffs. You know that, Jamie. Defense wins.
Andrew.
And guess what?
Jamie's out sick today.
Andrew, when the Sixers come with that defense, they're going to beat every team in the East. Now, like they can shut you down. I mean, they did it to Milwaukee in the Christmas Day game. Granted, Milwaukee beat us last time. We'll see what happens next
Sixers
Saturday.
Also hit 20-plus threes that game against the Bucks.
They did. But I'm telling you, this team is built to win in the playoffs because of their defense, and they're going to prove it. Now, what's really been bothering me in sports is really over the past week, Andrew, is Sports Talk Radio, the host and the callers assailing Joel Embiid's character. Now, this has been going on during the year. I mean, people have been assailing Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons' character all the time. And here's the problem I have with it. Oh, my God, Joel Embiid told the crowd to shush. Stop. I mean, and you would have think for these hosts and these callers, I mean, he did the worst thing in the world. If you want to attack these guys play on the court, that's fine. But when you start calling these guys immature, you start calling these guys babies, the hosts and callers, it's just wrong, Andrew. It's wrong.
Charles, I was actually okay with the shush. I think it is still fair to say that they're immature. Like, let's face it, the tweeting back and forth with Jimmy Butler, it was... it was kind of immature, right? Like, let's be honest, because he knows exactly how everybody's going to react in Philadelphia when we see Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid going back and forth about, oh, I know where villains can play, and he goes, yeah, me too, brother. Like, he knows how people are going to react.
I understand that. Maybe that is. But overall, calling these guys' names is just wrong. And as for Jimmy Butler, I'm getting tired of hearing about Jimmy Butler. All these Sixers haters calling up, we should have kept Jimmy Butler. The fact is, Miami's overachieved. But if we meet Miami in the playoffs, that's probably likely, Andrew. The Sixers will destroy Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. And I want Miami in the first round. Because I'm getting tired of hearing about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you said that last week, Charles, and I appreciate the call. I hope you're right. I mean, Sixers made it look easy in the first game. The last three, they lost. And the Heat destroyed them in one of those three. Like, I don't think, I want the Heat. Bring on the Heat. Like, okay. Do I think the Sixers match up against the Heat? Yeah. Do I think overall the Sixers are the better team than the Heat? Yeah. The Heat have had your number this year.
Maybe it's just me, and maybe it's because it's somewhat of recency bias. It can't even be recency because the Heat were the most recent game out of the two teams. I would rather the Sixers play the Heat in the first round than the Pacers. There's something about the Pacers that just they like the Sixers match up well with the Bucks. I think the Pacers match up well with the Sixers.
I don't really necessarily disagree with you. Like, I like that Pacers team.
Like, Sabonis causes problems Tobias Harris.
Oladipo's a great player. I mean, that's a good Pacers team, right? Malcolm Brogdon, that's a very good Pacers team. I thought they were going to do a little bit more last year, but Oladipo gets hurt, so there you go. And I was shocked. Oladipo gets hurt last year, and they still played well. Like, they over time dropped in seeding, but it wasn't like this downfall that we all expected. Almost like the Raptors this year, right? Kawhi Leonard goes, and we're all expecting a downfall, or at least like a borderline playoff team. They're still second in the Eastern Conference, that Toronto Raptors squad. So I get what Tyler's saying about the Pacers. I both are tough teams. Both are very good teams, and both are teams that have beat the Sixers this year. If I was to pick one, I don't know. It's a coin flip. I still think they're both very good teams. And we'll find out. I always love how optimistic Charles is. I always love how optimistic he is. But at the same time, I think it was fair to call out the immaturity of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I mean, Ben Simmons stayed an extra night in Miami with Ms. Kendall Jenner after they got destroyed against the Heat. And I know it was pre-planned, right? Like, that was already decided. He talked about it. I don't know. You get crushed. Maybe you go, hey, Kendall, we're both millionaires, right? We can pay for another flight and do this another time. Like, I don't know. Did that rub you the wrong way? It rubbed me the wrong way.
Not as much as a lot of people. And the reason that I say that is because I have to be able to take away Ben Simmons the person from Ben Simmons the basketball player. Like, yes, it was a really, really bad loss, and I understand the frustrations of him hanging another day, but like, put it into perspective this way. If we had a really bad show today, just an awful show,
which never happens,
and then you said, hey, by the way, Christy and I are going and doing XYZ, would you delay those plans because you had a bad show?
No.
So,
because I'm off tomorrow.
And so was Ben Simmons.
Yes.
Which is why I don't have as much of an issue.
Unless you and I got called into the manager's office and we had to speak to the manager and I didn't show up. And the reason why I say that
is... No, that's different.
All the players spoke to the media the next day. And that was the crazy day in the media. That was the crazy day where Al Horford admitted that there was something going on in the locker room. That was the day that Joel Embiid was peppered with questions about whether or not they're still listening to Brett Brown. That was that day. And I have no confirmation whether or not Ben Simmons was at practice. I have no idea. But all the players spoke. Every single player spoke to the media that day. And Ben Simmons was the only one that wasn't. So I don't know if he was at practice or not. Maybe I'll try to do some digging. But that's the other thing. It's you came back home, and if you missed, not only did you miss practice, but if you're supposed to be one of the leaders of this team, which Ben Simmons should be, and you're not answering the questions that all the other guys have to answer, I'm sure people look at that cross-eyed, at least the members, at least the other players, right? Like, we freaked out about Joel Embiid's tweet. You don't think some of the players were like, yo, dude, like, come on, man. like some of his teammates? You don't think they're like, yo, dude, come on, can you chill out a little bit? I'm sure there are some players that were like, wow, Ben's really sticking around an extra night.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And that probably rubs some of his teammates the wrong way. Now they've played well since that game. But I don't know if that was like the come to Jesus moment, as people say. Like, I don't know if that was like the moment where it brought all the team together. Like, did they hash things out? I don't know. I'm confident about the Sixers. But I totally understand why people get angry about the Sixers. I totally understand. 610-632-0975. Couple open lines. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking until noon right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Day of Love is over. Some of you might not even be awake yet, right? Like, is Valentine's Day, like, Tyler, was Valentine's Day, is it a big day for you? You're engaged, you're soon to be married. Like, is it a big day for you?
I think it is, but it's not necessarily to go out, like, do something big. It's more, I've always been a big believer in, like, the thoughtful gifts. You know, it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money, but I've always been a big believer in, like, hey, make something, you know, if you guys have, like, a particular date that stands out to you, put it on a canvas. You know, those kind of things.
All right.
You know, so it's, like, the things that are important to your particular relationship.
See, I'm not romantic. I'm not.
No?
No. So, to me, it's just like, all right, let's go out to dinner. It was a nice dinner.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
But, like, you know, I'm not... I feel like people go overboard sometimes. If you're listening, wife, I'm sorry. Just don't expect much. You said yes.
You're locked in.
You signed the paperwork. There's a long-term contract going on here.
You're legally bound.
There's no outs. There's no outs in this contract. It's like Bryce Harper. 13 years,
13
baby.
Years.
He's going nowhere, right? Yeah. So, the day of love is over, okay? So, I want to get back into the anger that we feel with Philadelphia sports. And I'm trying to turn it into a positive twist, right? Like, I'm not trying to sit here and say, let's get angry at all the teams. That's what we're best at. No, because there are good things going on in this city with these sports teams, right? The Flyers are exceeding expectations. The Eagles still have their franchise quarterback, and I hope he reminded you, a lot of you, that he's the franchise quarterback the way that he played the last 4 weeks going into the playoffs, winning every single game that needed to be won. And then, of course, he takes the cheap shot in the back of his head from Jadeveon Clowney that for some reason still didn't get in trouble for. But he did everything he needed to do the last 4 weeks in order for the Eagles to win each of those games and to get to the playoffs. So there's still a bright future for the Eagles. There's a bright future for the Flyers. The Sixers' future is still bright. There's no way you can still sit here and say, oh my God, they're never going to win with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I hate, that's probably my biggest hate in sports, period, is when people talk with such certainty, when they're like, oh, it's never going to work out, period. It's like, can you let it play out a little bit? Like, I get that I'm kind of doing the opposite, saying I think that they can win. But I'm also saying I think. I'm not saying I know. Right? Like, how many times do you hear, Tyler, oh, they're never going to win together? And you're like, dude, it's year 2.5. Like, how can you say that with certainty?
You hear it all the time. And my question to you is, how do we, like, separate? Where's the dividing line? What crosses the line between our high expectations of these young superstars becoming the antithesis of that, where it's like, negativity, negativity, negativity.
I don't know. Like, I think people just have to... Here was the biggest problem. Here's what led to this problem. Is they were told right from the get-go, generational talent. What was the other word? Transcending talent. Like, those are the two words that
Magic Johnson.
Yes, right? The next LeBron. He's the prince. LeBron James literally crowned him the prince. And people go, okay, if he's supposed to be this great player, how come he can't shoot a jump shot? I can go down to my local YMCA and hit a three-pointer. How come Ben Simmons can't do that? He's an NBA player. He gets paid millions of dollars. Right? Like, that's how people look at it sometimes. And it's like, all right, I totally get it. I totally understand. I totally understand that you, Bill, can go out to your driveway where you have the little basketball net above the garage and you can hit free throws. I totally get it. And Ben Simmons, for some reason, can't. But Ben Simmons can also do all those other things at an elite level. Joel Embiid, he shoots too many threes. Well, he actually shoots pretty well for a big man. Still does things down low. Still does things all over the court when he seems into it, which is what happened against the Clippers. He was into it that game. He may not be into it on a given night against the Atlanta Hawks, Washington Wizards, even though he should be, because he's getting paid and all that stuff, and he's playing basketball, so he should just be happy that he's playing basketball and, you know, he's not doing a hard 9-to-5 job. He's going out there, he's playing basketball, he should be happy. I get it. I hear what you're saying. I hear your complaints. But those complaints that you have should not be the reason why you lead to the statements of they will never win together or this guy will never win, period. How many times have you heard Carson Wentz is never going to win? Ben Simmons is never going to win. Joel Embiid is never going to win. The Phillies are never going to win. That could be true with this ownership. You hear that all the time. And that's one of the things that makes me angry as a Philadelphia sports fan, as a guy behind a microphone, is hearing these certainties of they're never going to win together. They have to trade them. And the thing is, we're now seeing it all over the place, right? Like every once in a while, somebody on ESPN writes a story about how whether or not these two guys can work together. I know Bavada put out lines the other day about where Joel Embiid is going to play to start the season next year. Now, the Sixers were the heavy favorite, but it's leading to that, where they're making these joke lines, these joke odds of where Joel Embiid's going to play next year, because people keep on bringing up this idea that they can't play together. And I know I'm guilty of it because I have that dark fear, right? That dark fear was quieted against the Clippers. That dark fear of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid not being able to play together is also just a maybe. It's not a certainty. It's not me saying, yep, it's definitely going to happen. They're never going to win. You have to trade one of them now. Try to get as much value as you can. But I think, Tyler, to your point, that's what it is. It's they were sold a bag of goods of, look, they're going to be generational talents. And people are impatient because they were patient during the process. This city was fantastic during the process. Dealing with Tony Rotens and KJ McDaniels and Henry Sims.
Your 2A players.
Oh, yeah. Henry Sims, Hollis Thompson. Like, I don't know. Arturis Gudaitis, Lithuanian that they drafted.
That's what I said to Mike yesterday when we kind of had the expectations conversation, was those two in particular are expected to produce more quickly than, let's say, Carson Wentz or Carter Hart, exactly to your point, because of the patience and allowance of the process over the 3 or 4 year window where they won 30 games in right. 4 years.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. And I don't know, it's so hard to say be more patient after you were that patient. And you add the patience of being patient when Joel Embiid missed two full seasons and then only played 31 games. We all remember that month of January, and I guess was it 2017, when T.J. McConnell hit that game-winning shot against the Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis airballed the shot. I forgot who got the rebound, but then Gerald Henderson gave it to T.J. McConnell, hit the game-winning shot. Like, I can still see it. It still goes on through my head. They won 25 games that year. But that season was like, okay, here's the beginning. Because Joel Embiid played 31 games, only 31 games, but played 31 damn good games to the point where he was one of the top three vote-getters for Rookie of the Year for only playing 31 games. Malcolm Brogdon won that year. Dario Saric was the other player that got votes. So it's hard to say be more patient when you already were as patient as you were. But now that you saw Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, you're seeing the growth of Ben Simmons, who has grown this year. Early in the year, first month in, a lot of people were still saying, I don't see any improvements. Look at his numbers. They're all down. Ben Simmons, the player, is better this year. It's probably his best season. Ben Simmons, the player. I get the whole, everybody keeps on pointing out these net ratings of Simmons and Embiid together and the numbers are lower, yada, yada. Let's see what happens down the stretch with actual players around him, actual rotations. To the point where now Al Horford can go come off the bench. That's good. That's what we've been asking for. Because you finally had the talent that could come off the bench. You finally have rotations, talent in your rotations, and not Howell Neto. So I get it. You don't want to be any more patient than you already have been, but you have to be just a little bit more. Okay, so we have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up. 610-632-0975. Wide open board. So if you call in, you're going to get on 25 minutes commercial-free radio. We are talking about the hate in Philadelphia sports right now. And the hate is what's making you most angry right now and how we can get past that. Because we have to talk it out. We're going to talk it out. I'm not like a psychiatrist by any means, but I like to say that I have a pretty level head when it comes to Philadelphia sports. I'm never really too high on a team. I'm never really too low on a team. So let's talk it out. Let's find out what's making you most angry about Philadelphia sports and how we can turn that anger into some sort of positive light, because in the end, these four teams are in pretty good spots. Philly's the lowest of the four, but they're in pretty good spots, these teams. 610-632-0975. You want to talk about your Valentine's Day yesterday, feel free, especially if it's a horror story, because I have one, and I'll tell it later on. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Thank you till noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.